Let's go to Luke chapter number 2, Luke chapter 2. And you'll probably be hearing Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2 in the next few services here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I love preaching out of the Christmas story during the month of December. And we're going to read from verse number 8 down through verse number 14 a little bit about this heavenly host this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that Jesus Christ above all would be lifted up this morning. We thank you, dear God, that a Savior was born on Christmas Day. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here, dear God, this morning that doesn't know you as personal Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the preaching of your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. My wife was busy trying to get everything ready for her Christmas party, Sunday school class Christmas party last week. And then she ended up coming down sick that week and began to run a fever. And I'm so thankful for our substitute Sunday school teachers. Let me just say a word about that. You may or may not know that these folks are part of our church and what exactly they do behind the scenes. But we have a group of people that every single week prepare to teach Sunday school. And most Sundays, they don't teach Sunday school, but they're ready, they're studied, they're ready to plug in, they're ready to go. And we needed one of those substitute Sunday school teachers for my wife last week when Brother Smith was here. Now, it was tough because she didn't want to miss on her on the week that she was going to do her class. But she, I think Miss Sarah took over for her, and they coordinated together. And then I was given a list of last minute things that we needed to pick up for her Sunday school class Christmas party. And so I've got the list. All right, gentlemen, you know about the list, right? You have the list. And so I go to Terre Haute to pick up these handful of things that normally she'd take care of, but she's under the weather. And so I was going to run up and take care of that for her because why? Because I'm a wonderful husband. That's I know that's what you are wanting to say. Thank you for not shouting it out. And but because I'm a wonderful husband. And so I'm up there getting this stuff. And one of the things on the list was she decided instead of wrapping all the gifts, she would buy Christmas bags. Okay, the shortcut, you know, with the tissue in the top, and make things a little easier on her since she wasn't feeling well. And so she said, I need bags about this size. And so here she's trusting me to get the right bags with the right colored tissue and all of this, which, amen, again, you know, I did because I'm a wonderful husband. We're going to keep going there till you get it, okay? So it's going to be less painful if the next time you'll just say it all together, all right? So anyway, and so I'm looking at all of the different Christmas bags, you know, in Five Under. Is that the name of the store? Five Under, Five Below. I don't know where I was. But, you know, I was there because I'm a... Thank you very much. Yes, yes. And so there I was getting these Christmas bags. And one of the Christmas bags, you know, a preacher will get sermon ideas just about anywhere. But one of the Christmas bags said this, my favorite color is Christmas lights. My favorite color is Christmas lights. All right. So I grab about a dozen of them. You know, it sounds good to me. And so I bring them. And I began to think about that as I was coming home, because, you know, as you're traveling around the area this time of year, you see a lot of folks that have decorated with Christmas lights. I couldn't help but think about our cantata as y'all were performing it, A Star of Hope. And I got thinking about how much I've enjoyed Christmas lights through the year. You know, when we were little, folks, we lived a pretty simple life. Mom and Dad didn't have a whole lot, and we found ways to have a good time doing things that were cheap and simple. And one of the things that Mom and Dad loved to do around the Christmas season was load us all in the station wagon, and we would just drive around the Brazil area and look at different people's Christmas lights, you know. And I still remember the wonder of a little child as a little boy looking out at all of these lights that people have decorated, all the different ways they decorated their houses. And I begin to think about that, Christmas lights. And I begin to think, okay, as a preacher, you know, was there Christmas lights at that first Christmas? Were there Christmas lights on that first Christmas Eve, on that first Christmas day? And I think if you're getting ahead of me right now, it's probably okay. Matter of fact, let's just outline the message. You can help me right now, all right? We read about one Christmas light, so I've already given you one here, because the Bible says here that and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord, verse 9, shone round about them. So that's one of the Christmas lights that's connected with the Christmas story. What's another Christmas light that might be, have been the theme of our cantata tonight or this morning? Well, that's of course what? Yeah, the star, another Christmas light. We're going to take a look at the Christmas lights that's connected with the first Christmas, that Christmas story. And then the last light, think about it, think hard, what are we thinking about? Come on, preachers, help me out. You got to have 3 points, Brother Matt, or you can't preach this message, all right? You've got the glory of the Lord. You've got the heavenly host, that light. You've got the starlight. You've got...
Jesus wept.
Jesus wept? Oh, my goodness sakes. All right, well, amen. Yes, thank you very much. You know, this man's not even called to preach, and he's on the ball and all. All you've got is John 11:35, Jesus wept. Well, we understand now why Brother Matt, a door has not opened yet for him to be launched out into the memory. If he can't finish off a simple three-point outline like that, then, man, I think we need to put him back in preaching in children's church and work him on up. And, yeah, and I begin to think about Christmas lights. Let's talk about those three Christmas lights this morning. Number one, the light of the heavenly host. In Luke chapter 2, verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. You know, when the night that Jesus was born, God, he lit up the sky. And you think about this celestial light that accompanied the announcement of what? The announcement of a miracle birth, folks. There's never been a birth like this birth. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you know what? This celestial light, come on, the first Christmas lights, this celestial light accompanied the announcement of a miraculous birth. You know, I went back and read in Matthew chapter 1, the story of Joseph and Mary and the information that Joseph was given. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Folks, this is a miracle birth. This is the virgin birth. You think about that. This virgin birth was predicted 750 years before it happened. Think about that. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So why light up the skies? Because this light accompanied this announcement of a miracle birth. Joseph finds out that she's with child of the Holy Ghost. And while he's thinking on these things, the angel of the Lord appears unto him in a dream. And here's what he tells him, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take
unto thee, Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah. We just read it, chapter 7, verse 14. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, boy, I like this, folks, God with us. Why was this the most miraculous birth? Why did God choose the light up the skies? Because God came down to be with us. Folks, let's not forget the importance of the doctrine of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we believe in God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Jesus is as much God as God the Father, and the Holy Spirit's as much God as God the Father and God the Son. And Jesus was not just a created being. He wasn't just an angel. He wasn't just a good teacher or a good man. He was the Son of God, and he was God the Son. Emmanuel was born. God with us came, and God decided to light up the sky to let everybody know about this. This celestial light of the heavenly host motivated the shepherds to seek him. And then it motivated the shepherds to proclaim him. And folks, let's take a good example from the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, if you're still there, look at 17 and 18. And when they had seen it, what? When they saw the first Christmas lights, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. And folks, listen to me. I think the idea of Christmas lights maybe ought to motivate us to tell more people about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what drew the shepherds to go seek him. This is what then sent the shepherds out to proclaim him. And so number one, we see the light of the heavenly host. Number two, if you want to go back with me, the other Christmas chapter that we tend to visit, go back to Matthew chapter 2, and let's look at the light of the guiding star. The light of the guiding star. We'll just read two verses concerning the wise men, Matthew chapter 2 and verses 9 and verse number 10. The Bible says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, here it is, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And see, so we see the light of the heavenly host, and then we see the second Christmas light in the Christmas story. That's the light of the guiding star. The celestial light, I'm going to say this, was seen by wise men. By wise men. You know, you all know the saying, the Christmas saying. We used to see it on bumper stickers a lot during the Christmas season back in the 70s when bumper stickers were a thing. Wise men still seek him. Wise men still seek him. Let me talk to Christians this morning. You know what? I want to just give you a very simple truth that the Lord helped me with. Very simple truth. You know, I don't know what kind of year 2023's been for you. I know everybody's life is filled with blessings and burdens. But by the way, there may have been in 2023 some dark stretches. Come on. There may have been some times where you felt a bit lost. Think about that. The wise men, come on, they felt a bit lost. They had to stop and ask for directions. Amen. For men to do that, that's a miracle in itself right there. There may have been some times when you were having trouble, come on, finding God and connecting with God. Think about that. These were wise men, but folks, they still needed a sign. These were learned men, but they needed a star. Come on, the star was not going to be seen. This is what I want to help you with. The star was not going to be seen by looking down at their feet. And I want to help you. You know what? Let me help you, okay? Preacher, I've gone through some dark stretches, and we face some dark things, and we've had darkness come and touch our lives. Well, let me tell you this. It's time to look up. I mean, you know why they saw the star? They looked up. They looked up. And folks, listen to me. I think the devil brings things into our lives to get us to where we're looking down. But you're never going to see that guiding star until you look up. And during the Christmas season, come on, let's look up. Let's look up and let's seek God. The star was not going to be seen by looking down at their feet or by looking inside of themselves. The star was only going to be seen if they decided to look up. What does this first Christmas star teach us as Christians? If we're going to get to where God wants you to be in 2024, then it's time to start looking up again. It's time to come on. It's time to start seeking God again. It's time to call out to God again. It's time to lift up our eyes into the hills from whence cometh our help. In order to see this guiding light, they had to look up. The celestial light was seen by wise men. And folks, listen to me. Wise men will look up when it's dark. Amen. They'll look up when it's dark. Don't let the devil get you looking down at your feet. Listen, don't let the devil get you to get your eyes off Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil discourage you from seeking God, because you know what? If you seek him, he can still be found, amen. This celestial light, I'm talking about this light of the guiding star, guided these men to Jesus. I spoke to Christians a minute ago. Let me speak to those that may be here that were lost. These wise men were lost for a while. I mentioned that already. They had come from the east, then they stopped in Jerusalem to ask for directions. And I think this is interesting if you think about it. I asked myself two questions, okay? They needed to know where Jesus was going to be born. So first of all, who had the answer? Who had the answer? And where did they get the answer? So who had the answer and where did they get the answer? You know the story, but I'll read it to you. Matthew 2, verse number 1, if you're there. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now wait a minute. They saw his star in the east and they followed it for a while. And then you know what? They lost contact with it. We know that because just down into the story, they again see it and they rejoice with exceeding great joy. All right, we can see it again. But for a while they got lost. For a while, they didn't know where to go. For a moment or two here, they needed direction. Where's a good place to get direction when you need direction, when you feel lost? Where's a good place to turn to? We read on, the Bible says this, that the Bible goes on to say, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, wait a minute. How did they figure that out? What's the next phrase? For thus it is written by the prophet. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not thou least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor and shall rule my people. And let me just say here, if you're lost this morning, you know what? Here's the place to go to get the answers on how you can be saved from that condition. And you know what? I love the fact that they went to the people that knew the Bible in their day. And they went to those men went to the Bible to give them a Bible answer. And you know what? That's not just a good encouragement for the lost. That's good encouragement for us that are saved. I talk about these wise men. For a while, they saw that star and they were heading the right direction. And all of a sudden, you know what? They lost the star. They couldn't see it anymore. By the way, folks, think about this. I had to ask myself a question. Well, why is it that they could see it for a while? Now, this is deep stuff, okay? It's not a trick question. Think about this. Why is it they could see it for a while, and then they couldn't see it for a stretch, and they had to go and ask as far as for directions? Anybody got some ideas? When do you think they were able to see it? What's that? When it's clear, all right? That's good answer. How about this? When do you see the stars the clearest? Come on, I want to help you this morning, okay? Some of you going through some dark times. I'm telling you, when you're going to see the light the clearest. It's not in the noonday. It's not when the sun's shining. It's not when everything's bright and happy. You know what, folks? A lot of times we see God more clearly in the darkness. And we get better direction in the dark. Preacher, I don't understand why God had us go through this, or had us go through this, or had me go through this. You know what? Maybe so you could see the light again. Maybe so that you could get yourself back on track again. Maybe so you could find that guiding light that's going to bring you closer to God and closer to Jesus. Emmanuel is waiting in that
manger. God is with us, and the light's trying to get us there. And the sad part about it is, when the sun's shining and everything's rosy, we tend to wander off in all kinds of directions. Come on, the children of Israel did it too. We throw rocks at them, but you know what? I think they're up in heaven sometimes throwing rocks down at us, because American Christians were the same way. And folks, listen to me. I don't want you to be discouraged if you've had some dark stretches. I want you to just stop looking at your feet, start looking for the light, because that is the easiest time to find the Lord. And so we see this wonderful story. I love this. We're talking about Christmas lights, the light of the heavenly host, the light of that guiding star. And they went to the Bible. And I couldn't help but think about Psalms 119, 105. Thy word, come on now, is a what? A lamp unto my feet and a, help me church, and a light unto my path. And if, you know, everybody's wandering around lost. Everybody's wandering around confused. I want to remind you of something that I've said quite a bit. The devil's not scared of this, but he's scared of this. And you know what, folks? We need to get into the Bible. Where do we find Jesus? We've lost our way. And you know what? They went in and they opened the scriptures and they searched the scriptures until God gave them an answer. And I promise you, I don't know what you're facing right now, but the answer's in this book. Preacher, I'm lost. Spiritually, I'm lost. I don't know if I died right now, whether I'd go to heaven or not. The answer's in this book. Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I don't know which direction to turn. And it seems like the devil's attacking our family and our marriage. And he's trying to, listen, the answer's in this book. It's in this book. You know what? I'm glad that we have the celestial light that guided these men to Jesus. You know, I want to say this, folks. Every person, every lost person needs a guiding star. Every lost person needs a guiding star. You say, well, preacher, they need to get into the Bible. They need to get into the book. Well, let me read you about a man, read a story about a man who was in the book. And he still needed a guiding star. Think about this. In Acts chapter 8, we read the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Watch this. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, notice what Philip says, understandest thou what thou readest? Here's what the Ethiopian eunuch answers. And he said, how can I, except some man should, the next word is guide me, guide me, guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And you know what Philip did? He sat down beside him and he opened up the scriptures and helped him to have an understanding. And before long, he puts his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. What doth hinder me to be baptized if thou believest with all thine heart? And you know what? He gets saved. He gets baptized, but he needed a guiding light. Amen. He needed a guiding light. What are we talking about, preacher? Christmas lights. Thank God for that heavenly host that, you know what, on that first Christmas night, you know what they did? They brought glory to God. You know what they did? They announced a miracle birth. You know what they did? They got into the hearts of some shepherds and motivated them to go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. But you know what, folks? That's not the only Christmas light. This star was a guiding light. It guided those wise men to Jesus. And I don't know where you're at and how dark your situation is, but listen, stop looking down, start looking up. And by the way, the answers are in this book. And if you can't figure out where the answers are in this book, aren't you glad that you have, come on, a pastor and some people around you in this church with some biblical knowledge that you can sit down and get some help? Don't be so proud that you're not willing to ask for help. Wouldn't it have been bad if Philip said, understandest what thou readest? And out of pride, he would have said, no, but leave me alone. I'll figure it out on my own. I don't know if it ever gotten saved. And yet some of us, if we're not careful, we have a Bible. And preacher, I'm trying to figure out the answers, but I can't get an answer to this question. Listen, don't be afraid to go and seek some biblical counsel. You know what? We all need guiding lights. We all need guiding lights. Even as Christians, we need them. Lost people, come on, who was your guiding light that helped get you to Jesus? Think about that. Somebody's got to be the Philip that sits in the chariot. Somebody has to sit down beside somebody who's in the Bible seeking the answers. Come on, if we don't get to them, watch this, the Jehovah Witnesses will. If we don't get to them, the Mormons will. Come on, in this day and age, if we don't get to them, the Muslims will, or the atheists will. And I thank God for Jerry and Ruth Purcell, who were a guiding light. Come on, the very first time we showed up to a Bible preaching church that preached the gospel was following, come on, our station wagon driven by my dad with his family, following their vehicle to church. Amen. 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 Well, I don't know about you, but I just want to be a guiding light to somebody. I want to help somebody find the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about Christmas lights. Now let's get to the most important Christmas light. Come on. You nailed it. Brother Matt didn't have a clue. Thank you, Brother Brian, for helping him out. You know what, folks? What's the greatest Christmas light on that first? The greatest Christmas light was in that manger right there. Jesus was born. I love this. Think about this, folks. The symbolism of it. You know what? I don't know what it is, but most babies are born in the middle of the night. I don't. I'm sure there's some scientific explanation for that, or some medical answer for all of that. I think wives just like keeping their husbands up all night. I think that's what the real answer is. There's a root of bitterness there. There's something going on. I don't know. But you know, hey, Jesus, we know he was born in the middle of the night because that's when his birth was announced, in the middle of the night. But think about the symbolism of that. You know what? God could have let Jesus be born at noon hour, but he wasn't. He was born in the middle of the night. You know why? Because he came in a time of great darkness. And folks, when we think about the spiritual application there, you know what? We needed the light of the world. They needed the light of the world then. We need the light of the world now. And Jesus is that light. You know, I think Brother Jeff read this scripture, Matthew 4, verse 14, during the cantata. The people which sat in darkness, this is talking about when Jesus came. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them, think about this, and to them, oh, I wish we'd slow down and think about what we're reading. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Amen. Did you get that? I think right now in the United States of America, we have become a region of death, a shadow. We're sitting in the shadow of death. But you know what? That's when the light springs up. Light is sprung up. Where? Under the shadow of death. Light is sprung up. You know what? They brought that little baby Jesus to a man by the name of Simeon. And let me read this story, Luke chapter 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Watch this. Very unique. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So here's an old priest serving faithfully in the temple, and the Holy Spirit told him something. You're not going to die until you see the Christ child, the Messiah, born. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Listen, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. This is a Jewish man, a Jewish priest. And you know what he said? He picked up Jesus and he could have accurately said, this is a light to lighten the Jewish people. But you know what? He prophesied. He told us that, you know what? Jesus didn't just come to die for the Israelites. He came to die for the Gentiles. And everybody in this room ought to be glad about that. Amen. A light, he said. I'm holding a light. I have in my hands a light to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. This is why John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Listen, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. Come on now. That's where it shines. Folks, listen, don't get discouraged about America. Don't get discouraged about all the sin. Don't get discouraged about all the darkness. It's time to shine. It's time to shine. I believe we're on the threshold for what ought to be the greatest year of opportunity for evangelism in the history of the United States of America. You know what, preacher, I can sit here and checklist. This is wrong, and 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 this is bad, and this is bad, and this is dark, and this is dark, and this is dark. Well, you know what that means? It's time to shine. That's when the light sprang up. It sprang in the regions of darkness under the shadow of darkness. And you know what it says? In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, capital L, light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, talking about John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Well, in case you don't understand who we're talking about, John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus made it very plain when he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus again, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness, but in light. The greatest Christmas light ever to shine. Come on, think about it. The brightest Christmas light ever to shine is the Lord Jesus Christ. The most beautiful Christmas light to ever shine is the Lord Jesus Christ. The most important Christmas light that has ever shined is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there were other Christmas lights. By the way, I thank God for the heavenly host. I thank God that the glory of God shone round about those shepherds. I thank God for that guiding star. I thank God for those wise men who dared to look up while the world was looking down, dared to look up while the world was slumbering and sleeping, dared to look up when they were lost and confused, and dared to look up when they didn't know where to turn. And I'm glad that they found that guiding light. But the most important Christmas light was the bright light that radiated, was not the bright light that radiated from the heavenly host. The most important Christmas light was not that star leading the wise men to Bethlehem. Folks, come on now. The most important Christmas light lay meekly in a manger. Jesus is our Christmas light. Jesus is our December light. How about this song? We'll read the words. And in closing, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Listen to the verses. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. Come on, we walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, what's the message? The light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light. In the city of gold, the light of the world is Jesus. And then here's the invitation chorus. Come to the light. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Come on, sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Think back when you were saved. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Why? The light of the world is Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, she would use this simple truth to remind us, Lord, as we drive around, as we enjoy the festivities, as we see the decorations, Lord, I just hope that every Christmas light will remind us of this first Christmas light, this most important Christmas light, the light of the world. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, they'd be saved today. Lord, I know what it is. I know what it is as a Christian to to be discouraged. I know what it is, dear God, to have the devil start winning in my life. And next thing you know, I'm looking down at my feet in defeat instead of looking up towards you where I can find that guiding star. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, for the Christian that may be struggling, dear God. Maybe 2023 has been a dark year. But, Lord, I just can't help but think that it's in the darkness. It was in the darkness where the wise men could most clearly find the light. It was in the darkness. It was in the darkness when that heavenly host showed up to those third shift workers watching sheep and began to glorify you. And Lord, it was in a dark, dark time in the nation of Israel and in the world when the light of the world sprang forth. And so, Lord, yes, we may be in a dark time here. But Lord, I pray that we'd always remember the light of the world is Jesus. Bless the invitation, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.